Spring seed around Church on the North Coast has been something we've done for over 30, 35 years. And I remember the very first spring seed offering we took in Lorain, 200 people in the church. Guess how much the offering was? $135,000. Isn't that remarkable? From a city in Lorain, it's just a blue-collar city. No people there really making, you know, six figures or $1 million a year. It was everybody understanding the principle of seed faith. And when you and I understand the principle of seed faith, it'll change our life. Before you on the steps today are some packets of seeds. These seeds are red poppy seeds. We're asking for you to take some at the end of the service and plant them in your garden or around your house or at your place of business or maybe at the park that you go to. And the reason for that is because the Red Cord Project is what Spring Seed is all about. It's to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. T and I have been experiencing some unsaved people recently in our life. Have you ever run into unsaved people? How do you know they're unsaved? Well, usually by how they act and what they say. But I remember meeting my neighbor here recently down in Florida, and his every other word was flowery, just flowery words. And I went, oh, I'm not in church anymore. And we went to a little fire pit gathering from people from the neighborhood, and they were inviting everybody over. And they're starting to tell a little bit off-color jokes, and I'm sitting there going, what am I doing here? And as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you know what? I planted you here because these people need Jesus. And I said, yeah, Lord, but can you just tell somebody else to do this? I'm a little uncomfortable here. People that need Jesus are depending on you and me. That's what this Red Cord Project is all about. It's about evangelizing and reaching the city for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that Azusa Street, July 22nd and 23rd, is going to be amazing. Cleveland Municipal Stadium, is that where it's going to be? They're expecting thousands, Lou Engle, the call, to pray over the whole region. So all the states around the Great Lakes are gathering and it's picking up momentum. Mark it down on your calendar. I think you're going to enjoy it. And then I heard we're having a church picnic. Well, Wycliffe property, if you've not been over there, it is beautiful. I was there this morning. It's about 6 acres of woods and beautiful pond. And we're going to have a church picnic there on June 3rd at 1 o'clock. So why don't you bring some chicken, some hot dogs, some hamburgers, and most important, bring yourself. And let's hang out and let's do life together for a little bit, okay? Amen, amen. Well, it's great to see you. Like I said, I've got a story. I think I told you already. How many heard the story about the two little boys that were at Sunday school and it was just a real stern teaching on the devil? How many remember that story? Anybody? Nobody remembers that story. Well, the one little boy was walking home from Sunday school, and he said to his friend, he said, man, what did you think about that devil stuff that we were learning there in Sunday school? He said, oh, I don't know. He said, what'd you think? He goes, well, you know, the way I look at it, it's probably just that same thing like Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus just ended up being your dad, and I would suspect that this story about the devil will end up the same way. It'll just be your dad. Well, coming up on Dad's Day, we believe that our dads are more than little devils, don't we? Come on, girls, can I get an amen? You know your husband's a blessed man. But we're looking forward to having Dad's Day coming up in June. So we've got a lot of good things happening over the summer. Let's get our Bibles out and go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 1. How many know that scripture in the Bible? Boy, let's read it together. Come on, ready? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. One more time. Come on, everybody, participate with me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible is telling us that there is a habitation for you and me. There is a place where we can set up residency. And when we do, something miraculous takes place there. When you and I decide to go to the secret place, the place that you have personal space with Almighty God, when you and I come into the presence of God, we can expect some supernatural results in that particular place. See, I believe that when we dwell in that secret place, we create a habitation. And a habitation is where practice and tendency are developed. What do I mean by that? Well, if you would be adopted into my family as a child, you would grow up with the practices of the Cayetan household. All of us do Christmas here, right? How many do Christmas? Anybody do Christmas? Okay. But you do Christmas different than I do it. Some of you do it on Christmas morning and you open up all your gifts. Some go to their families. Some do it Christmas Eve. Some have a tradition of going to church. Some others have other traditions. You decorate differently. You have different types of foods. Why do you do that? More than likely, you have grown up with the practice of your habitation. And it's carried on now into your family. It is the way you do life at Christmas. You see, that's really what we're talking about in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 verse 1 tells us that if we dwell in the place where God lives, we'll pick up the way God does life. We'll start doing life the way God does life. We'll start seeing life the way God sees life. And you know what? That's going to change all of our perspectives about everything that we're ever going to face. No matter what difficulty, no matter what problem, no matter what challenge, no matter what demonic manifestation, no matter what kind of carnality we may experience in our own life or others, when we can get God's perspective on that thing, we understand that we can make it through that because we're under the influence. Don't answer this question. Has anybody ever been under the influence of alcohol in this room? I'm not looking. I'm the pastor. Not looking. Of course we all. Most of us have. I remember before Christ, I was a good drinker. And when I drank to get drunk. I didn't drink because I liked it. I drank to get to the end product, man. I wanted a buzz on. I want to get high, right? That's what I did. And I remember my wife and I, we'd go to John and Sue's, her older brother, and we'd play cards. We weren't really there to play cards. We were there to drink that fifth of whiskey. That's what we were there for. And man, we would drink and we'd play cards and we won the hand, now you got a drink, and we'd take a drink. You know, after a certain time, you got under such influence, it didn't really matter what you would do. You know, I remember we'd say, oh, we're hungry, let's go get something to eat. Well, I was under the influence of alcohol. It's probably not a good thing to drink and drive, right? But you get in a car anyway because you're young and stupid. And so I'd get in the car, and I would just drive right through red lights. I wouldn't even slow down. They said, that light was red. I said, so what? I don't care. Man, this is fun. Aren't we having a great time? Look at here. Because you throw caution to the wind. Because you're under the influence. You start doing things that you ordinarily would never do. Influence can be a very positive thing. And if you look at the scripture, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the influence or the shadow. The shadow is nothing but God's influence in your life. The closer you get, the more influence you'll receive. You know, I understand that the shadow that's being cast here, if I got under the shadow of this pulpit, I would have to get in proximity of it in order to experience it. If I'm out on an open field and it's very hot and the sun is beating down and there's a lone tree in the middle of the field, and I want to get into its shade or into its shadow to experience the refreshing from the hot sun, I have to get close to it. I have to walk to the tree. If you and I are going to get under the influence or under the shadow of the Almighty, we're going to have to get close to it. But let me tell you something. When you get under the influence of Almighty God, just like when you get under the influence of some negative things, if you get under the influence of Almighty God, you're going to throw caution to the wind. You're going to believe God no matter how much money, how much month is left at the end of your money. How much money? Month. Yeah, how much month is left at the end of your money? You're still going to believe God because you're under the influence that says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the doctor may say, you're not going to make it. You're not going to have health for the rest of your life. You're going to be crippled or you're going to do this or you're going to do that. But you know what? Because you're under the influence, you start talking the way the influencer in your life has brought the practice of life to you. So it doesn't matter because you believe that your closeness to God has changed your lifestyle. Remember I told you the story of Dr. Summerall and how he would have the usher tap me on the shoulder and say, Dr. Summerall wants you to come sit by him. Did I tell you that story? Yeah. And so he would have me come sit by him. And because I was sitting by him, I was like, well, I remember one day, I was sitting next to Dr. Summerall, and on the other side was Dr. Oral Roberts. Now, I'm just Louis Kayeton. I don't have a plane. I don't have a Bible college. I don't have a ship. I don't have any recognition. I just have the shadow that I'm living under. Because I desired the closeness of the proximity, it brought me in between greatness. So I'm sitting there, and Dr. Oral Roberts looks over at me, puts his hand out and says, how you doing? My name's Oral Roberts. I'm like, dude, I know who you are. Let me introduce myself to you. My name's Louis Kayeton. And he's like, oh, nice to meet you. Don't know who you are, but nice to meet you. I remember Dr. Summerall one day saying to me, you know what, Oral Roberts is here, and I need somebody to go in the back and, you know, greet him and bring him out to the service. I'm like, wow, you want me to do that? He goes, yeah, I want you to do that. I'm like, okay. So I get into the back office. I look around. I couldn't see anybody. I see this big used Bible up on the table, and I could hear somebody's in the bathroom. I thought, wow, Oral Roberts must be in the bathroom. I'm looking at that Bible, looking at the bathroom, looking at the Bible, looking at the bathroom. And so I picked up his Bible and I opened it up. I'm like, ooh, oh, ooh, and I'm reading all his notes. And, oh, seed faith. That's where that came from. Oh my gosh, he wrote a book on that. There's the note. I'm like, pretty soon he walks out of the bathroom and he says, see, you found my Bible. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got your Bible. I'm sorry. He goes, no, that's good. I'm glad that it can be a help to you. I'm glad, in other words, that it would influence you. You see, you and I are influencers, and we have a responsibility to the people that we are in proximity to give them the practice and the tendencies of our Father in heaven. I want people to come into my presence and walk away and go, I've just been influenced for greater faith. I've just been influenced for greater love. I've just been influenced for greater risk-taking in faith. Because God wants us to create habitations. I shared with you out of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. I want to go to that scripture because we have to understand where we really are. You're not seated in a building over here in Valley View off Granger Road. You're not sitting right there, but you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Look what the scripture says. And he raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love that because what it tells us is the proximity to God is right at his right hand. That's where you and I are to dwell. Not only that, but Christ Jesus means the anointed one, Jesus. The anointing is where Jesus has called us to sit. So when I sat next to Dr. Summerall and Dr. Oral Roberts, can I tell you, I was influenced to act a little different. I didn't chomp my gum. I spit it out. I made sure I sat up straight. I made sure that I said amen when you were supposed to say amen. I made sure that I looked my best, acted my best because of the influence that I was under. When you and I realize where we're seated, where we have been raised with God, where we really dwell, where we are positionally in God, it will raise an awareness of the type of influence that you and I have. Last time I preached, I talked to you about the Holy of Holies. And Holly was so grateful. I was so grateful, Holly, that you started singing, Take Me Back, Take Me Past the Brazen Altar. You started singing that for me and you helped me. We used to sing about enter into the Holy of Holies. It's where we want to go. And there's the Ark of the Covenant. And the cherubim create a shadow or create a presence, create an influence over the mercy seat. And the mercy seat represents Jesus. And inside the Ark of the Covenant are three characteristics that will begin to embody the whole glory of God's influence in our life. Do you remember what was in there? Well, just a little way of a review. We said the first thing we found in there was Aaron's rod that budded. How many of you remember Aaron's rod that budded was inside the Ark of the Covenant? It represented God on the earth. And God specifically put Aaron's rod that budded in that ark because he wants you to understand and me to understand that God's influence in our life is so powerful that those things that aren't supposed to be living can live. Those things that should never blossom and bloom without a root system can blossom and bloom in the presence of Almighty God. In other words, he wants us to know that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the shadow of the Almighty, God enables us to do things that we ordinarily would never be able to do, to know things that we would never know other than the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that was inside that Ark of the Covenant was a bowl of Wheaties. You remember that? There was a bowl of Wheaties in there. No, you all are going to be like, was there a bowl of Wheaties in there? It was a bowl of manna. Manna. Everybody say manna. Yeah, cinnamon crunch. Yeah, in there. Oh, Cheerios, whatever. A bowl of manna. Now, what was unique about the manna? Do you remember? 40 years, Israel was fed by bread from heaven. Jesus in John 6 said, I'm that bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of me shall never hunger again. And he used the analogy of that bread that came from heaven that sustained a nation for 40 years. But what was unique about that bread? Do you remember, church? It only lasted how long? 24 hours. After 24 hours, what happened to it? It rotted. It putrefied. It was not consumable. And you couldn't store up some for the next day. But in that presence of God, under that influence, was not only the revelation that you and I can experience God to do something apart from the ordinary. Sort of like this. On the first day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. But he didn't create the sun until the fourth day. Meaning God doesn't need a sun to give you light. Neither does God need a resource to get you what you have need of. All you need is faith in God. Come on, somebody. You see, God looks at revelation. God looks at the supernatural. And in the sense of the manna from heaven, it was God saying, watch this. What ordinarily in the natural would only last 24 hours in my presence will last an eternity. You see, we can understand that the bread from heaven will give us eternal life. The influence of God is eternal life. When I woke up this morning, I have to tell you, I looked in the mirror and I thought, ooh, you look a day older. No, not really. I didn't say that. But if I look at some pictures from 10 years ago, I'm like, I definitely look older. If I look at some pictures when my girls were just little, I'm like, who is that man in that picture? Because that is not me. But you see, God has a way of preserving us and giving us eternal life. And you are an eternal being. You and I are not going to die and then it's over. Come on now. Because when we leave this land, getting up morning, when we are going to rise and we put present in the Lord, so don't weep for with my Father in heaven. Then the third thing was the tablet of Moses. Remember the hand of God wrote on the tablets? This was in the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, listen, when you're under the influence, not only are you going to have eternity, not only are you going to have supernatural results, but you are going to have the Word, because the Word will work in your life if you work the Word. You know, every day, that's what I try to do. I have confessions. And so this morning, Tia and I were driving in, and I said, Father, I want to thank you that angels go before us. I just command angels right now to make our way safe. No accidents, no incidents, no mishaps, no injuries. And we return safe to our home later tonight. I thank you that we go to Wycliffe safely. We drive over to Valley View safely. And the way it was raining, I needed that angel. We got over here. Now I need to go to Lorraine to do a funeral. And I thank you, Father. And then from there, I'm going to go to do Benjamin's birthday party at 4 o'clock. And then from there, I'm going to go to Avon Lake. But you know what? Before I already got there, because of the words of my mouth and the words of God's promises that I've aligned myself with, because I live under the influence, I know that God was already there. And when I show up, he said, how you like it? In other words, I'll make a way for you where there's no way. Well, another cars might be planing on the highway. My car is going to grip the highway because the angels are holding it down, because I've already declared the word of the Lord. You see, the influences of God, the proximity or the closeness of your relationship with God will create in you a different mentality. I want to share with you in the next couple of minutes, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. You see, affections create dwelling. The scripture says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Look at that. If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, set your mind on above, creating a dwelling under the Father's influence. I have to set my mind above. So when thoughts come into my mind that are not above thoughts, when I start thinking I'm inferior, when I start believing that I can't, when I start believing what others may have said about me that God didn't say about me, what am I doing? I'm setting my affections too low. I've gotten them off where I'm supposed to be dwelling on. And as a result, I'm under the wrong influence. I'm under the influence of failure. I'm under the influence of defeat. I'm under the influence of I can't. But man, if I set my affections on things above, if I say, no, those are traditions and practices of my past, I am not going to succumb to that anymore, but I am going to dwell in heavenly places. This past week, I golfed for the first time in 2 years. It wasn't a pretty sight. Nonetheless, I had that shoulder surgery, rotator cuff, and I first hole, didn't take any practice swings. I just got up to the tee and swung, and I was just conscious of whether or not it was going to feel okay. And it felt great. I found myself, not too good, third hole, not too good. Fourth hole, I got up to the tee box. Jeff, you'll love this. I got up to the tee box with a 3-iron. I sat back there. I smacked that thing 240 yards straight down the middle. All the guys are standing there going, "Whoo, that's a great shot." I said, "Yep, it's a great shot." I was only about 170 yards from the green. I got up for my second shot, brought my 5-iron out. I lined it up. Bam! Man, that thing took off straight as an arrow, bounced right in front of the green, rolled up just to the edge. I'm like, yeah, I'm golfing. I got up to the third shot. I'm like, man, I'm going to either par or get a birdie. This is amazing. I'm really doing well. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with it. But over the green into the sand trap. I'm like, I just had 2 great shots, and that's terrible. And then the Lord told me, He said, "You reverted back to your old practices and your old tendencies. You didn't practice and follow through to make the right shot." Sometimes we're under the influence of the Almighty, and other times in God-tight situations, we revert back to the practice and tendency of learned behavior. And you have the wrong swing, you lifted up your shoulder, you looked at somebody else, you had the club turned out because you weren't concentrating. That's because your affections were turned away. And when your affections are turned away, your habitation is broken. When I was a kid, I used to love to go to Brian Holloway's house. He was my best friend. I think I told you about him. The thing I liked about Brian is his family was just so loose and so loving. My family was so strict. They were loving, but you just had to love on their terms. And Mom didn't allow us to eat popcorn in the living room. But Brian's house, you could eat popcorn and watch the movie. We used to eat popcorn in his house and just, we'd spill it, and it was no big deal. His mother never yelled. We'd just like pick it up, leave kernels there on the floor. It was not a big deal. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I love doing that. The other day, Tina and I, all these years later, we had popcorn in the living room. I'm like, yeah. If I want to, I'll throw, yeah. Yeah. It's just so much fun, you know. And I could just see my mom coming over and going, "Ah, there's popcorn on the floor." I'm like, "Mom, get over it. Get over it." But you know, sometimes when you have that kind of a background and you're raised like that, maybe it's in religion, maybe in your church relationship, bondage under the law, expectations of people, trying to prove something, trying to win others' affections more than you are God. When you're in that moment and you could be like your Father in heaven, you tend to revert back to your Father on this earth. In other words, you start now yelling at your own kids for putting popcorn on the floor. You got liberated, but you got back under the law. You went back to the old tendencies and the old practices instead of staying in heavenly places. What's the key? Set your affections where? On things above, right? Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, please, if you can. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you need to say that to yourself in the morning. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to me. Grace and peace to me. He is Shalom. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of grace. You see, grace is a place where we can maintain liberty and jurisdiction over things that are dead, over things that are lost, over things that don't any longer matter. You've got to let go of some things. You've got to speak grace and peace to your life. Some of us are living under the bondages of our past failures. We get up in the morning and we're thinking about how we shoulda, woulda, coulda. We're always punishing ourselves. We're always looking to try to make up for the loss or to pay our dues. But you need to get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm under the influence of the Father. Grace and peace to you, Lou. Get in the mirror, look right in your face. I say grace and peace to you, Louie. You are a peaceable man. You are a grace-filled man. And you know, that is the kind of influence that the shadow or God's influence will bring to you in your life. You know, we have to understand something. We can't stay where we've always stayed. Some of us are living with dead things. We're trying to live with dead things. We're trying to maintain a life that is ultimately going to fail because it brings pain to you and others that are connected to you. It's like the four lepers. Remember the story of the four lepers? They sit there and they go, you know what? We could sit here and die, or we can get up and move into the camp of the enemy and see what will happen. Maybe God will grace us. Can I give you a secret? God has already graced you. God has already given you peace. Why sit here and die? Come on, let's go into the enemy's camp and let's experience the blessing and the bounty of God because He loves us so much. What else is in the influence of God? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. If you can look at Hebrews 6 and verse 9, it tells us in that scripture, beloved, we're confident of better things. What is that? Well, better things concerning us. I thank God that under the influence, there's better things coming to me. Better things. I have a good job, but you know what? God says there's better things coming to me. I may have a good family and a good situation, but you know what? There's better in that good family. There's better in that situation. Because why? Good, better, best. We never let it rest. Why? To turn good into better and better into best. Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, that accompany salvation. Hebrews chapter 6 are there for us. My wife and I, an attorney, he has a persuasive will. He knows how to present a case to get you to agree with him. And if you don't, you will, just to get him off your back. He's been that way since he was a little boy, but he knows how to wear you down, wear you down, wear you down. You know, Tina said, look, I want to babysit for you 2 days a week. I'll help you out this summer. And Louis said, Dad, Mom, you really need to babysit 3 days a week. He said, I'll pay you. And of course, as a mother, you're not going to, oh, I'm okay, pay me. No, no, son, we're not. Well, then you need to do it 3 days a week. Well, I can't do it 3 days, help Mary in her house. And No, you don't need to be going over there. Because if you go over there, there's going to be dust and mold. And it's going to make you sick. And then we're all going to have to be praying and all that kind of stuff. You just need to come over here because the boys love you. And this will be a lot easier for you. Let Mary find her own help. Mom, you need to help us. You know, he's just kidding. Was that the truth? Tina got off the phone. She said, oh my gosh, he should have been an attorney. How many know you have a heavenly attorney? Come on, how many know the Holy Spirit will talk the devil down? Holy Spirit will be your advocate. He will go to bat for you. He will bring you into the promises of God. Holy Spirit will bring you into the better things. Come on, say this with me right now. Holy Spirit, bring me and my family into the better things. You see, no matter what the argument is of the devil, Holy Spirit knows how to be the counter to the punch to what the devil may declare. He knows your future. 1 Kings 22 and verse 19. What else is under the influence of God? I only have one more. 1 Kings 22 and verse 19. If you could put it up, please. The Bible tells us there is a heavenly host that is available for us. The Bible says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne and all of his host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. I mean, get the picture of it. Under the influence of Almighty God, there he is on his throne, and all of his angels are on his right and on his left. And what are they doing? They're standing by. Say that with me, standing by. What do you do when you stand by? You wait for orders. That's why we declare, angels, thank you that you go before us. There's no accidents, incidents, or mishaps in Jesus' name. Why? Because the angel is standing by. We all have ministering spirits that minister salvation to every one of us who call upon the name of the Lord. You need to work that ministering spirit. Some of your angels are like the Maytag man. They ain't done much lately. Come on now. We got to declare and we got to decree. The angels are standing by. And when you live under the influence of God, you know that the angels of the Lord are able to speak on your behalf. Have you ever been involved in bureaucracy? Have you ever been involved in government where you had to make a phone call? Have you ever called a government office? Isn't that fun? And you get this recording and you get this next line and then you talk to this person. Then you finally get to a person and they say, oh, you got the wrong department. Let me transfer you. And then the phone rings and then you pick it up and it's like, hi, I was just transferred to you. I said, do you have my information? No, I'm sorry, we have to get your account number, we have to get your birth number, your social security number. I said, I just gave that to the last person. Well, that was the last person. I'm sorry, I don't even know who you are, so we got to start all over. So you do that, and this is my experience here recently. I'm telling you, this is the truth. So I give them all the information, and they say, well, I think we can work on this, and we can work on that, and all of a sudden, we were cut off. I just lost the call. I'm like, no! I said, well, maybe they'll call back. Maybe they'll call me back. No call. So I called again and to try to go through to connect to that same person. I was talking to a person by the name Brian. Is there a Brian that works there? If I could just talk to Brian. I don't know any Brian, sir. How can I help you? No, you can't help me. But I live under the influence. I have angels standing by. So I'll just forget about Brian, forget about your department, and I'll just go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you. You know about bureaucracy, Father. You know about red tape, and you know about big government. You know how hard it is sometimes just to talk to a real person. But God, you are able to talk to any man and woman's heart. And Father, even though this is a huge department with a multi-million dollar budget every year, there is one person that's going to make a decision on my situation. So I'm asking you now, Spirit of the Lord, angels of God, go into that office. I don't even know what office it is. I don't know where it is, but you know where it is. And speak to that person. And when they see my name, Father, just give me favor. Oh, Father, give me favor. So when they look at me, they go, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I like this guy. And we're going to help him. I was told on the phone, 6 months, maybe longer, before you'll get a response. 6 months, I said, maybe longer. Wow, are you guys that busy? That was April 27th, wasn't it? April 27th. I thought April 27th, May 27th, June. November 1st. No, I live under the influence. You see, the power of influence is angels standing by his throne. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm like, hey, Dad. Hey, Papa God. I'm right there with him. I'm saying, hey, Papa God. Hi, Papa. Hey, Papa God, can you send one of your angels? He says, sure, son, I'll take care of that. Boom. 10 days later. 10 days. 10 days later. They didn't even call me. They didn't call me. but I'm computer savvy now. Got on there, looked at my account, checked it out, and it changed. I said, Tina, I don't know this for sure, but I think we've got some favor. She said, oh, that's awesome. I said, well, don't get too excited because I don't have the letter of confirmation and I haven't talked to anybody yet, but I think I've got favor. I'm waning back into my old practices and tendencies. I had to stay under the practice and tendencies of the habitation of my Father and just rejoice that He's working on my behalf. How many know what I'm talking about? Do you feel me? Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? I got to stay there. And so every day in the morning, I'm looking. It's still there. It's still there. It's not erased. And then I get a check. No, I didn't get a check. I looked at my checking account. I look at my checking account, and there's money in my checking account. I'm like, where did that money come from? They said a one-time deposit from the government, one-time deposit. I'm like, Tina, they gave us money. And I'm not telling them either. They put money in our checking account. I'm not saying nothing. Yeah, I got this check. I mean, it was in my checking account. Finally, I went to the mailbox. I pulled the mailbox out. And it said the government agency on it. Opened it up. We have been incorrect in tabulating your benefit and have made the correction. I'm like, I'm going to frame this and publish it that the U.S. government actually said they made an error. It's right here in black and white. I'm like, favor. I said, Lord, this is so good. Tina said, you better make a copy of that. You better make two copies of that. I said, don't worry. I'm going to paste. I'm going to post. I'm going to document. I'm going to make a file. It's going to be everywhere because we know that favor, God goes before you. If God goes before you, come on. If God be for you, come on, say it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Give God praise right there. Come on. Woo! Give God praise. This is my last one, I promise. My last one, then we're going to receive our spring seed offering. Isaiah 6:1. I love this scripture. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the king, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Let me tell you something. When you live under the influence of the Almighty God, when you carve out your secret place, when you get in the proximity of that shadow, when you learn to set up your habitation there, when you refuse to revert back to old practice and old tendencies, but just live and do life the way Father does life and the way Father lives life, you're going to have 100% Jesus juice in your life. I mean, it's not going to be diluted at all. His train filled the temple. I want all of God. You want all of God. So no matter where you go, it's like Jesus. You get up in the morning and you get in your car. I feel Jesus. Woo! You go to the store. Jesus. You meet somebody at work. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You just feel Jesus all day long. I've been with Jesus all day long. Something. Da-da-da-da. Is that the song? I will, yeah, praise. Anyway, it's a great song. You just be with Jesus. You just have 100% Jesus juice when you live under the influence of Almighty God. My question here today is, are you living under that influence? Why should we? Why should we even bother? I'm going to tell you why. Because there's countless thousands and millions of people that unless they hear the message of grace and peace are going to go to eternal hell. And we cannot let that happen. We must share Christ. That's what the spring seed is all about. It's taking the message of evangelizing hearts and lives. Listen, you can't qualify a person for salvation. We can't say, well, they're worthy and they're not worthy. Ladies and gentlemen, none of us were worthy. Grace and peace to you. That's right. And we must take this message. So help us do it. That offering I told you about in Lorraine some many years ago, $135,000. It was amazing. Some people gave the equivalent of 1 hour of their work. So if you work 40 hours a week and you make $10 an hour, you get $10 in your spring seed. And you say, Father, I'm going to give $10 of my earned income towards salvation of others. Others gave an entire day's wage. That's a little bit more. So say you make $100 a day, or maybe you make $200 a day. And they put that in the spring seed. And they believed that God was going to cause lives to blossom. Others gave an entire week's pay. That was really big. Really big. And others even gave more. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but friends, this is not about us. This is about reaching people for Christ. So let's today ask the Holy Spirit, what should we give? The offering envelopes are there before you. The ushers are going to come and you're going to bring the offering up to the front. Is that correct? Is that what we're doing, or are we receiving the offering? You're going to bring it up to the front. So why don't you come up to the front now? And then when you give your offering, and even if you don't give an offering, would you take a packet of seeds and at least plant them in your front yard or your garden or at the park near where you live or maybe at your place of employment or your business? And it's going to be red poppies. And those red flowers, we want them to be everywhere where people are saying, wow, this is amazing. You guys can just spread out here and let people come up and bring it. But I want you to fill out that envelope. Spring seed envelope. How many need an envelope? Do you have one? Everybody have a spring seed envelope? No, they need some. Do we have any spring seed envelopes? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we probably don't need this many bags, so maybe you guys can help bring some envelopes. A couple of you could do that. Yeah. Maybe just one or two probably people. So can you hand some bags, some envelopes out? Yeah. Oh, they're already used? Oh. Well, why don't you get some more? And we got couple people up here. We don't need a lot. But however, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and then take some seed. And then before we go, can I give you two words from the Lord that I feel God gave me so I can pray over it with you? Two words. It won't take long. They're just prophetic unctions that God gave me, okay? So if you're making a check, make it out to CNC. Put it in the spring seed envelope, or if you don't have an envelope, just write spring seed on it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that souls are on your mind. You said he or she that wins souls is wise. Father, we want to reach out to our communities. We want to share the love of God. Help us, Father, as a church to be community-minded, to reach the people, Father, that are yet walking in darkness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what I'd like for you to do is just, if you will, be comfortable to bring your offering up and put it in one of the bags here on the far right. Or over here on the left. And Brother David, maybe you could come in the middle. And we have one down there, one in the middle, and one down there. And then please come and get your seeds. Even if you don't give any offering, would you come and get some seed? And the reason why we have it here is because we want you to understand that it's from the altar. It's from the presence of God that we're taking this. This is unusual. It's not like any other flower or any other garden. This is a special garden. It's special because Rahab's red cord is what brought salvation to her house. And I believe that we in this Red Cord Project can bring salvation to many in this city, many in this community. Let's not forget those that have not yet heard yet about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. While you're walking and bringing that offering and you're getting your spring seeds, and if you feel like you want more than one, you could take more than one. It's fine with me. We have plenty here today. Crowd is a little light today, so we've got plenty for you to take two or three if you need to. That'll be awesome. But I want to share these two words with you. And if this resonates with you in any way, I want you in a minute to stand because I'm going to pray for you. But number one is this. God gave us a word that said this. You might not be able to get over what has caused you great pain in your life, but you can get past it. Let me say that again. You can't get over it, but you can get past it. That means you may not ever forget it, but it won't control you anymore. You'll get beyond the event. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's someone hurt you. Maybe someone betrayed you. Whatever incident that may have occurred that you haven't been able to get over, God said, you might not be able to get over, but you're going to get past it. Hold that thought for a second. Here's the other word. Have you ever believed God for something and it didn't happen? Okay, that's me. But you know what? I remember as a young boy going to elementary school, and they had these little square boxes where you put your lunches in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You put your lunch there. And every day, my mother would write my name on my lunch. She'd have on there, Louie. So when I would hear the teacher say, okay, go get your lunch, I would go. And sometimes, because there's so many holes, it all looked alike. I couldn't remember where my lunch was at. And I would grab one, and it had Brian on it. I grabbed one, it had Jane on it. I had to look for mine, and when I saw it, it had my name on it. I'm like, that's mine! And I would take it. Here's what the Lord showed me. He said this. He said, what has your name on it is not going to be given to anyone else. So just continue to look, pray, and believe, because you're going to find it, because I have your name on it. And I don't want you to give up hope. Some of us have given up hope, and we have felt like God has forgotten us. He hasn't. We know if God has your name on it, it's for you, and nobody else is going to take it. So if one of those two words resonate in any way with you, can I pray for you? I'm going to ask you, as a step of faith, just to stand if that is for you and you want that prayer. Would you do that right now? Amen. Amen.